Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Vov, the sixth chapter of Yirmiyahu. This is really a fascinating Perek in so many ways. This Perek falls into a later period in Yirmiyahu's life. So like Perek Dalet that we learned a couple days ago, this is later. It is after the times of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was a time of hope, a time of aspiration, a time of unity between the two kingdoms. But when Yoshiyahu died, death dies the hope for success, certainly in Yirmiyahu's standpoint. What happens now is that during the denial of Yoyakim, later Yoyachin and Zedekiah, in that approach, in the later years, what ends up happening is you have kings who are ignoring the signs of destruction which Yirmiyahu is trying to tell them. Now Yirmiyahu is trying to get them to listen, to understand that destruction is imminent, that their ways are going to ultimately destroy them. That's where we're at right now, and you're going to hear the tone is much more cynical than the optimistic tone that we've heard up till now of Yirmiyahu beforehand. So let's start at the beginning of the Perek. The first little section of the Perek runs from Pasuk Aleph to Hey, and it talks about the dangers approaching Binyamin. Interesting. Remember that in the southern kingdom it's made primarily up of two tribes, Yehuda and Binyamin. And interestingly enough, this section is addressed to Binyamin. Here is how it goes. Ha'izu b'nei Binyamin mikerev tekul shofar. Listen, Binyamin, get out of Yerushalayim, because they're going to kill you. Something's coming from the north. Escape while you're able to. Kadshu aleha milchama kumu v'nali b'tzaraim olanu kifona hayom ki natsud tzilele erev. Get out before while it's still day, because the shadows of darkness are coming soon. This is what Yirmiyahu tells everybody. Now, interestingly enough, let's just appreciate this for a second. Why are Binyamin the ones being addressed? Meaning, they are the minority of the population in the southern kingdom. So the Mitzvotos, the Malbim said, because they weren't the actual citizens of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was mostly in the inheritance of Yehuda. So it's almost like saying, the foreigners of Yerushalayim, those who are not the natural inhabitants, run now, because don't get caught up in the mess of Yerushalayim as it's about to be destroyed. Now, ironically speaking, where are they going to run? Where exactly is Binyamin going to run? Binyamin is the stronghold. Yerushalayim is the capital. Yerushalayim is the center. So there's an irony in his words by saying, we'll run, but where to? In fact, the Radak goes so far as to say that the reason it's almost like, in a way he's turning to those he pities and cares about most. So he's saying, it's a person who, Rachman and his son, is trapped in a terrible situation and says to others, you go first, save yourselves. So it's almost like it's the central part of Yehuda saying to Binyamin, save yourselves, don't wait for us. That's what sounds like is going on over here. The imagery at the end of the section is quite puzzling of Kadshu aleha milchama kumu v'nale b'tzaraim. Get up and go while it's still in the woe to us, because the day is ending, ki natsu tzilele erev, that the shadows of evening are coming. What is this referring to? So Malim says that the metaphor for Israel at this point in time is that of this young lady who's mefunekes, who is spoiled, and she sits there as the countryside around her is consumed and eaten up. And what ends up happening is that she sits there, and even though everything around her has been destroyed, she goes for an afternoon nap. And rather than taking precautions, rather than hearing the calls, rather than understanding what's imminent, she takes no action. And then, erev, and it's too late now. The shadows of evening have come in. That's the way the Malbim understands it. I think that's certainly closest to the pshat. However, the Chomas Anach, the Chida, makes a very interesting comment. He quotes a Midrash in Eicha Rabbah. And the Midrash goes as follows. It's a very strange Midrash. The Midrash says that Yirmiyahu and Nebuchadnezzar were actually were youngsters together, and they spent some time going on a hike together. They were on a tiyul together. And the Midrash describes the conversation that they had. Yirmiyahu obviously knows what's going to be in the future. He is the prophet of the destruction. And Nebuchadnezzar says to him, when I grow up, I want to control the world. And Yirmiyahu says, what's going to happen when you control the world? So he says, I'm going to destroy everything. I'm going to capture Yerushalayim and burn the Beis HaMikdash. So Yirmiyahu starts bargaining with him in this hypothetical equation. He says, look, when you become the king or the master of the world, can you just leave me Yerushalayim? He says, no. Beis HaMikdash, nope. Don't burn it down, nope. So he says, what can you give me? So Nebuchadnezzar says, he asks for the Sanhedrin. He says, no. So he says, Matitani, what are you going to give me? Omale, Kol ma shetuchel hatzil lo lahotzi min ha'ir michatzei yom ad ha'erev. I'm going to give you half a day. When I besiege the city, whatever you can get out before evening, you are good. That's going to be yours. So when and then the Midrash concludes with our pasuk, which says that that's why Yirmiyahu is prophetically saying, "Oilanonu kifona hayom," is a word to us. The day is finished, meaning to say the deal I made with Nebuchadnezzar, maybe the little bit I could have helped escape is gone. We've lost that window, and it's ending. Very terrifying picture. And the next little section runs from Vav to Ches, is basically a description of emptying out the Yerushalayim because of its sin. And unfortunately, it's not a tragedy. That's the irony over here. It's not a tragedy that Yerushalayim, this was unexpected. Hashem says, Ki kol ma'arashin tzavakos, kirusu eitz, so I cut down the wood of Jerusalem, v'shivchal Yerushalayim solalah, just throw the storm on Yerushalayim, ki ha'ir hofkad kula oishek bekirbah. It is a city which has reached its level of sins in its midst. It means to say, as the Radak points out, that up till now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could ignore, Hashem could look at it from a different angle, but the Seah is full, the measure is full, Yerushalayim has reached the red line, there is no going back now, it's being emptied of its own sins. What a terrible description. And on this next section, in test to Tesvav, you hear Yirmiyahu's exasperation. Yirmiyahu, you can imagine this, he's trying to tell them, he's trying to get them to understand, please just listen, please somehow take heed, take notice. They don't seem to be noticing. Listen to his words. He's Ami Adabro Vaida. Who can I speak to? The Yishmu that they should listen. Hine Are La Oznom. Their ears are uncircumcised. The Lo Yuchlu Lakshiv. It's like they've got a film over them. They can't hear. Hine Dvar Hashem Hayolohem Lecherpo Lo Yachpetsuboy. The words of Hashem are going to be an embarrassment, a shame to them, but they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. Later on in this section, he says, and by the way, he says, the danger is coming, they're going to kill you all, men, women, children, everybody together, they're going to rape, they're going to pillage, they're going to slit throats, it's going to be terrible. And he says, Vayirap, ooh, es shever ami, al nakalo lemo, shalom, shalom. And when I tell them all these bad things are going to happen, you know what they say? Ah, it's fine. Shalom, shalom, it'll all be fine. And Yirmiyahu screams out, "Ve'ein shalom, there's no peace. Stop telling yourself, stop addressing the symptoms when realize that ultimately there's a causation over here. Take responsibility before it's too late." You can hear the exasperation. He sees the impending to him. And the last, the parak from Vavdula is Zion. Yirmiyahu describes how the constant, the irony of human beings. He has always says, "Yala drachim aru." He says, stand on the crossroads and ask the ways of the world. Which is the best way to go? I mean, like, be objective bystanders. Try to work out, be objective human beings, which way works. And find the right way for your soul, the way of serenity for your souls. And you say, no, sorry, too bad, we're too busy. Tuesdays is carpool day. We don't really have time to think about, which way we're going. So what Yirmiyahu is saying is, and as the Radak points out, is he says, look, either you can look at this intellectually or you can look at this traditionally. Meaning, ask your tradition, which way should we be going over here? Should we be serving God? Should we continue our leaders, other nations, and their gods? Or you can ask, either you can look it out intellectually, or ask your tradition, ask your parents, grandparents, your great-grandparents, what they did, and understand that you have ways to get out of this. But you say, no, we're not interested, we're too busy today. That's Yirmiyahu's decrying over here. Why is it nobody can take no heed? Why is it nobody really cares enough to save themselves? And therefore he says, there's going to be fathers and sons, neighbors, friends, all going to be destroyed together. And he describes the rising of this cruel enemy in the north, this great nation who takes no captives, the nation who is cruel, not going to have any mercy, warriors who run upon horse. And then he says the following statement, Bas ami chilak, mother, the daughter of my nation, wear sackcloth and roll in the dust. Because the pillars are going to come quickly upon us. The Gemara gets in Nunches. This is one to learn on Tisha B'Av because it's one of the terrible sections of the Gemara describing the destruction. Describes this pasuk and gives us the actual story behind which Yirmiyahu is talking. The description is like Nunches and Aleph again. Amar Reish Lakish tells us a story about a young lady whose name was Sofnas Bas Peniel, called Sofnas. Sofnas comes from the word Sofeh, which means to gaze. People gaze at her beauty. Why? Because she was Bas Peniel, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, who went in the inner chamber of the Beis Hamikdash once a year. What happened was is that she was taken captive. She was and she was thrown over 7 garments and taken to the marketplace. And this one terribly ugly individual comes in front of her and wants to buy her, and says to the captor, "How much is she? And show me her beauty." And he says, "Reka imataro tzeli kach kach, kishen kiyofio b'olam." There's no, like, nothing like her beauty in the whole world. Buy her or not. And so he says, "No, I still see the goods." And so the captor took 6 outer garments of hers, and shinth and lowest undergarment, and rolls in the dust, and says, "Amra lefonov riboino shel olam imolenu lochasta kedushas shemecha gibor lamatolatachos." Don't you care about your name? That's what Yirmiyahu says. Bas ami chigrisak v'espashli ba'afar. That don't you think about the suffering of these individuals? One of the comments I just wanted to make on this Gemara, and with this we close, is that this is one of the Gemaras where it's describing a beauty which is sublime, a beauty which is from an inner core of spiritual sensibility. This is the beauty of this young lady is not simply physical beauty. This is beauty, this is sublime beauty, ethereal beauty, which comes from a person who's cultivated themselves as the daughter of a Kohen God, or Shemesh Lifnai V'Lifnim. And the tragedy which is being described over Yirmiyahu is not just the personal tragedy of this individual, but the national tragedy, so to speak, of the fact that all that we have is seen by the rest of the world in locker term languages as good, look good, in sort of the Neanderthal of, you know, good looking and use and utility and desire and lust and indulgence. That's what's happened. The beauty of Klal Yisrael, the beauty of what it means to be a Jew who's a vibrant inner personality, a passionate individual, is looked at as a slave on the market to be taken and rolled in the dust. That's the tragedy that Yirmiyahu was mourning, and he's saying it's coming if we're not going to change our ways. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.